You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe a difficult place, or perhaps even in a very lonely place, you've come to the right place. Pastor Richard will challenge and encourage you today with a Christmas season message of God's greatest gift, Emmanuel, the hope of the world, as we share the 25 Talks of Christmas all this month on Richard Ellis Talks. Now, a reminder that you can always listen to, download, and even share this or any talk with a friend right from the Advent calendar on the website, richardellistalks.com. So let's jump right in with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Three Men and a Baby. One Christmas, this lady writes, one Christmas, my husband put an assortment of beauty products in my stocking. I tried one of the facial masks and was about to wash it off when my 8-year-old son, Caleb, walked in. I explained to him that it was a present from his dad and it would make me beautiful. He patiently waited by my side as I rinsed and patted my face dry. Well, what do you think? I asked. Oh, Mom, it didn't work. Not what you want to hear from your son. All right, turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to do almost a little bit of a study today, oddly enough, about a couple of chapters in the Bible. One is Luke chapter 2, and then we're going to go back to Matthew chapter 2. And I've shared this observation with a few other people prior to today. There are times when I read the Bible, and if you'd bother to read the Bible at any point in your life, whether you even read it or not, one of the claims that people will make is they'll say, well, you know, you can't trust the Bible because it's full of contradictions. And what I'll do as gently as I can, somebody says, well, yeah, it's, you know, all these errors, all these contradictions. Well, I'll kind of gently say, okay, well, let's just talk about one of them. Which one do you want to talk about? And usually they don't have one because they've heard someone say that and then they just write it all off. You don't want to write this book off. It's too important, and I actually believe every word in the book. I make no apology for that. My contention is if God can create a universe, you can certainly get a book written. You know, you could publish a book and protect that book. So there's a lot riding on what it says. But through the years, I would read Matthew chapter 2, the Christmas story there. Then I'd go to Luke chapter 2 and read the story. And I even, you know, I'd go, okay, well, wait a minute. Something doesn't match up here. And if you've read it and had the same thing happen, I'm going to read these things and you'll go, wow, yeah, that doesn't make sense. So let's start with Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. So Joseph, Mary, where are they? They start in Galilee, city of Nazareth. So we're going to do a little moving around here and see where they go and come from. Because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn, the place that they would have normally stayed during a tax visit like this. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now here's an important thing to observe here. You know, the shepherds showed up. And before I forget this, if you've ever seen a Christmas card that had the manger scene and the shepherds and the wise men there, it's not biblical. I did make this observation to a lady, and I said, you should, you know, cut the wise men off and it'd be accurate. And as you'll see in a little bit, she said, yeah, and mail it to the person 2 years later because, you know, that's when it happened. So if you get one of those, I thought that was a good idea. So let's track this. And before I forget this as well, let me say this. You cannot get your truth and your theology from a card. Because you go, well, all the cards say this. They can't be wrong. Yeah, they can. The Bible is the scriptures. And artists doing things, and artists can get stuff wrong. So read the scriptures. And we're going to do that, still do that. So these shepherds are out in the fields watching their flock at night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary, Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, so now they're there by themselves, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Now, so we got Jesus born, and all you got in this story is the shepherds showing up. No hoopla, seemingly no one else, Mary, Joseph, the baby, whatever animals are around, and these shepherds show up, and that's that. Next verse, born jumps to 8 days. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus. So he's born. Now we jump 8 days, circumcised. That's the correct time. Called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So he's born. 8 days he's circumcised. Within 40 days, which you go back into Leviticus, you had 40 days. You had to wait a period of purification for a woman after she had given birth to a baby. And then they go to Jerusalem. So you're in Bethlehem. You leave Bethlehem, about a 5 or 6 mile trip into Jerusalem. So they go there, make their sacrifice. Keep reading this. Presenting to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said of the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ, the Messiah. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Christ to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. A great lady. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all these things, okay, so we got Jesus born, we got him circumcised, goes to Jerusalem for this event. And it says, so when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And then look at this. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. So these are very devout people, and they abided by whatever you were supposed to do, Passover, all these trips back and forth. Go to Matthew 2. Matthew chapter 2, here's another story, or another piece of the story. You say, well, it's not the same story. I promise you, if I took my family on vacation and came back and you said, hey, what'd you guys do on your vacation? My version of what happened on the vacation and my wife's version are going to be really different. Right? Now, everything we tell you probably happened, but I'm not going to accentuate the thrift stores and the outlet malls. And, you know, I'm probably going to mention there was a great golf course, or, you know, I was able to get off the beach pretty quick, or, you know, whatever happened. Different things. So we went on the trip, But Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell the accounts as different individuals. The Holy Spirit writes it through them, covering different facts, but they all mesh. Okay, so here's Matthew. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Okay, so what does it say? We covered this recently. We're going to go back over this and tie it all together. Jesus was born. Okay, so this passage in Matthew has Jesus already born. Okay, just keep tracking. And they came saying, where is he who's been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people. The wise men show up in Jerusalem, find out even from Herod. Herod says, gets all the religious people together, like, where is this going to go down? They all say Bethlehem. Then Herod, who had secretly called the wise men, determined from them at what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. When you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy, and when they had come into the house, interesting, not into the inn, not into some stable, into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. Young child, not newborn. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Now this is where it gets kind of tricky. Appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I call my son. Okay, so here's where my dilemma was. I'd read the story in Luke, I'd go, okay, well, Jesus is born. The wise men show up, you know, the shepherds show up, they're all there on the Christmas card. And one of them says they went to Nazareth, and the other one says they went to Egypt. So which is it? Both. Both answers are right. You say, well, it can't be. It says that. Okay, here's the dilemma that we have with Scripture. And this can be applied almost to anything. I'm not crazy about math. I'm almost terrified when my kids ask me for help with math because I have no idea. And one of them's in here right now, you know, and I almost feel bad. You ever feel bad for your kids, what they're having to study? And you just can't say anything. You're like, wow, you could get a factory job to be better than this. This is crazy. So it's hard, right? So I see a sheet of her paper and I don't remember. I'm not using what I learned back in school and don't have to process that every day. And she's buried, you know, these kids are buried in this, whatever it's even called anymore. So, you know, I look at it. Now I say, oh, I don't understand that. You know what? And I'm using this word. I know it's not a good word. If someone is just stupid, they can't understand. But with just a little bit of effort, it is amazing what you can understand. If you just study, if you let someone explain something to you. So you go, well, I don't get the Bible. And I get people say that. I was in a hotel and I opened the Bible. I read, I don't get the Bible. You are literally going to give up on the most important book in history just because you read it one time and you don't get it. Ask some questions. Find someone who you think does get the Bible and say, hey, I read this. Could you help me? Your whole life and eternity may be riding on you getting the Bible. So it's worth reading. Take some time. Do some research. You do that with everything else. Most people do more research before they buy a stereo than they do thinking about becoming a Christian or even getting married. You know, look it all up, what's going on. Take some time and see what it says. Okay, so keep reading here. So the wise men are gone. They're warned in a dream to flee to Egypt. The Lord appeared to him in a dream, says, take the young child to Egypt. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I call my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death the, this is important, the male children who were in Bethlehem in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Okay, so Herod goes, okay, the wise men say this king was born at this date and allows for 2 years and slaughters every male child Thousands of kids die because Herod's trying to cover. You say, well, why 2 years? If he's born on this time, just go get them. Because the wise men showed up after he was born, so you have a time period. He could have been almost 2 years old when these wise men show up, okay? Now you've got Jesus, Mary, and Joseph in Egypt. Keep reading, jump down to verse 19. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned by God in a dream, another warning, he turned aside into the region of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, he shall be called a Nazarene. Okay, so how do they fit? Jesus is born, circumcised within 8 days, within 40 days, purification, covered, goes to Jerusalem. Then where did he go? What does it say? He went back to Nazareth. So how does he leave Bethlehem and go to Egypt? You think, well, this is going to be a silly answer, right? Yeah, he went back to Bethlehem. They're in Nazareth. So for some reason, they travel back to Bethlehem. And what is astonishing is however many months, within 2 years after Jesus is born, the timing of the wise men showing up, not when he was born, it was after he was born, but somehow Mary, Joseph, and Jesus are back in Bethlehem in a house, and the wise men show up and find them. You can't even make this stuff up. It cannot be coincidence. So now you've got them back in Bethlehem, and from there, the wise men show up, all that goes down, and then he's warned, take him to Egypt. So within just a few moments of study and asking questions, it all fits. Okay, you say, well, so what? What's the point of the whole thing? Some people get those things right. They get the technicality of the whole thing right, but they never understand what this is all about. Now I'm going to read you two passages, one out of Luke chapter 1. So go back to Luke chapter 1. And this is before Mary's even pregnant, before Jesus is even born, what this is about. In verse 30, the angel shows up to Mary. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. And look how he's described, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So who is this? Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. So this seems so simple because I believe this. But if you ever are going to change your eternity and change your life, you're going to have to do something with these statements. This cannot be the illegitimate child of Mary and Joseph. You have to figure out, is this kid, this infant, this little boy, the Son of God? And you say, well, I love Christmas. I love the story. Good for you. It's not just a sweet little story. If you understand who this little baby is and that he was conceived of the Holy Spirit, he is the Son of God, he is the Highest, I mean, all these things that describe him, you have to do something with this kid sooner or later. You say, well, I just don't believe all that. I just like the thing, you know, just Christmas, the feeling of Christmas. The feeling of Christmas is going to go away when you're dead and standing looking at Jesus and given an answer for why you didn't do something with who he really was. Not a very good feeling. And people say, well, I just like the gifts and exchange and all that stuff that goes on. You know what? Then get in on that and understand that God himself is offering you a gift at Christmas. And the gift happens to be his son, who lived, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, dies on the cross, is buried and raised from the dead to give you eternal and abundant life. And that's what this is about. Go to Matthew chapter 1. And this is, again, before he's even born. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, I think it's important to stop on these things. I get your challenge. Maybe you go, well, okay, so this virgin girl gets pregnant by God. Like, dude, you really, you believe this stuff? Like, how does that happen? At some point, either you believe or you don't believe. My favorite example of this, people say, well, I don't have much faith. If you have electricity in your house and you use it, you have faith. No one has ever seen electricity. But that doesn't stop us from using what we can't see because the benefits are so great. So I don't go, well, I'm not using electricity anymore until somebody lets me see the electricity, right? I'm going to live in the dark. Exactly. And that may be exactly what you're doing because you say, well, I can't explain this. You either believe or you don't believe. And if you don't believe, you're in trouble, big trouble. And you don't, you say, well, I'll talk my way out of it when I get there. Wow, that's brilliant too. You're not going to stand before a holy God. You will bow whether you like it or not. And I strongly, without screaming and hollering and banging on things, you don't want to get this wrong. You will worship him whether you want to or not. Because the book says every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So just do it now. You say, well, I'll, you know, take my chances. You don't have a chance. You don't have a chance without Jesus. And people say, well, that's very narrow. I didn't write it, but I'm banking my whole life on it. Because no other religion has ever offered me a baby that was worthy to live and die and save me. You got nothing like that. So let's read the one out of Matthew. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Like, she got pregnant. I love her. I'm not going to embarrass her. So I'll figure out a way to do this. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And then this is the powerful statement that the angel says, the Lord says to him, 21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the what? The sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. You say, well, you know, you get all stirred up and all worked up and be, you know, quoting old hymns. What's up with that, dude? You're crazy. I bet I could play certain love songs that would mess you up about somebody you used to love or do love. It triggers something. It's just that my music triggers stuff about him because I got nothing without him. I am helpless, hopeless, nothing. He's not just the answer to my life. He is my life. I have no life apart from Jesus. And people say, well, dude, you need to get a life. I got one the day I got Jesus. Sorting out how Santa fits with the religious meaning of Christmas can be confusing for kids. This was evidenced by my 2-year-old daughter, Josie, as she pretended to read from a book. And this is what the little girl said. Then Santa forgave them their trespasses, because it all gets kind of messed together. Even Santa would need Jesus, because there's only one righteous, and it was Jesus. Only one can save you from your sins. Only one King of Kings. Only one Son of the Highest. Only one. You say, well, you know, I've been to church my whole life. I'm a religious person. It's very personal. This is what's really interesting to me. People, I ask them about their faith. They go, you know, I don't want to talk about that. That, you know, religion is something you shouldn't talk about. It's very personal, very private. And then you say, have you got any grandkids? And they say, oh yeah, let me get my phone out. Like, oh no, dude, I don't look at people's grandkids. That's very personal, very private. I don't want to invade your privacy. If it ever dawns on you that somebody died for you, was buried and raised from the dead, and saved you, you're not going to have much trouble talking about them. And if I had pictures, I'd show you pictures. What a cool thing that would be. Actually have Jesus walk up and introduce him to somebody. This is my Jesus, because he saved me.
Thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We hope you're encouraged by Pastor Richard's unique way of challenging us to become more like Jesus, especially during this holiday season. You know, that's the goal of this program and the goal of Richard himself, to be God's hands, feet, and voice, to help us grow in our faith journey, and to become a reflection of Jesus to our neighbors, our community, and the world. You know, when you open your heart and life to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that's the beginning point of the most amazing journey you'll ever experience. But it's also a journey that we want to join with you. So we'd love to hear from you, whether you've been on this faith road for a while or just getting started. The website is richardellistalks.com. There's a prayer wall to click on so you can share how we can come alongside you this holiday season. Also, during the 25 Talks of Christmas this month, it's a different holiday-themed program each and every day. So if you miss any previous Christmas talk, just click on the Daily Talks Advent calendar to listen to, download, or share any of these Christmas talks. It's right there at richardellistalks.com. And finally, a quick reminder that you can automatically receive a direct text on your phone each and every morning that will link you to the most recent Christmas talk on the website. Simply text the word Richard to 855-6-RICHARD. That's the word Richard to our toll-free number, 855-6-RICHARD. So, until the next of our 25 Talks of Christmas, we love you, we're praying for you, and we thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.